You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are very thankful that you have tuned in today to spend the next half hour with us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to be talking about, well, we're going to be talking about a different aspect of forgiveness today. And tomorrow we've got one more program that we're going to do, and that'll take us into February. And we will move on in our study of the Lord's Prayer after that. But we do want to say thank you today to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-504, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, I encourage you to give them a call. They will get you taken care of. They are our go-to people for anybody in our church that has a block work that they need done. We recommend them highly. In fact, here just a few days ago, it was last week, I made a phone call to somebody who had listens to the radio program and said, "Well, I'm talking to the folks from Jits Concrete right now." And so we're very, very thankful that they believe in the radio program, and we're thankful. They go back to longer at Merit Assembly of God than I do, and I've been there 26 years now. So it's a long-standing relationship that we have, and they've been doing concrete work all of that time. I encourage you to give them a call. They will get you fixed up, and you will be glad that they did. So today we are going to go back to the Word. Do want to remind you, tonight is Wednesday night. We do have church on Wednesday nights. We have our adult Bible study, and then we have our youth service that meets in the fellowship hall. That's a relatively new format for us as far as the youth is concerned. But that all takes place tonight at 7 o'clock, and we would love to have you in either one of those services. We have seats available for both, and so my daughter Robin heads up our youth ministry, and she's got a wonderful opportunity here in a few days. We'll be talking about that more next week, but where she's going to be speaking in the area, and we're excited for all that God is doing in her life. She had a wonderful time on a missions trip last year, and really God has been opening some doors for her as far as speaking goes, and we're very excited about the networking opportunities that she encountered on that missions trip. So with that being said, I want to take you today to the book of Colossians, and we're going to be in chapter 3 today, Colossians chapter 3. Yesterday we were in Ephesians, and we were talking about how forgiveness changes our actions, and it changes our hearts towards one another. And today we're going to be talking about that to some extent as well, but in a slightly different manifestation. Okay, so let me take you to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So where yesterday we were talking about how we treat one another because we are forgiving, today I want to talk about how forgiveness changes us. It impacts us. You see, it's not the stronger person that is unforgiving. It is the stronger person who forgives. The more miserable of the two is the unforgiver, where God wants us to be forgiving. And specifically, just to begin, make sure that I don't miss this point, in verse number 13, if it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And so as I was preparing for this broadcast, I look at it, I read, I pray, and I ask God, God, what do you want me to talk about in from this passage of Scripture? And this is what I wrote down. What do we complain about is a question that is asked a lot. And, you know, when I talk to people, I say, how are you doing today? And they say, you know, fine. Even if I wasn't doing fine, if I was complaining, nobody would really care anyway. And this is what I wrote down when considering this topic of complaining. And it is this: the question might be better asked not what do we complain about, but who do we complain about? You see, most of the time when we are complaining, we are murmuring, it actually has to do with someone else. And, you know, even when the children of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness, their complaining wasn't complaining about their circumstances. Their complaining was about God, who was in charge of their circumstances, and they didn't like the way that God was doing his job. You know, I've had a revelation for years on that complaining is actually shaking your fist at God and saying, I could do a better job of leading my life than you are. A couple of different times it says in the Scriptures, I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. And we talked a little bit about bitterness in an earlier program, but that doesn't stay inside. That which is toxic on the inside, it begins to come out of you, and it comes out, if it's bitterness of heart, it comes out of our mouth, and it is complaining, and we're either complaining about another person, about how horrible that is going, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, or we are complaining about God and how horrible he's doing his job. In politics, people are always complaining about the other person. And I just had a conversation with someone right before I came into the radio station, and they were talking about a situation in the area that they live in, and they were complaining about this particular situation, and I quite frankly told them, because they were trying to get me to deal with a situation that is beyond anything that I can deal with. And I said, you know, I've had to adopt this philosophy that if it is within the realm of my possibility of changing the circumstance, then I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be derelict in my duty. But there is no sense in me wasting time complaining about things that are beyond the scope of my control. And let's see, it was a week ago Sunday that I was preaching a message on Sarai, and I was talking about the different types of kids that Abraham had, and specifically about Sarai. Her name means dominating, dominative, or controlling. And as long as she was trying to control the situation, She was angry. She was frustrated. She was bitter. And I, as I was preaching that message, I said, now this is just my opinion here. Okay. And so if you don't like this opinion, you're not going to hurt my feelings any. I'm not going to argue about it with you or anything like that. It's just my understanding. And that is that Sarai brought Hagar into the situation with Abraham to prove that Abraham was the source of the problem and not her. You see, a lot of times when we're trying to control everybody else, we are failing to tend to the one person we are responsible for, and that is ourselves. I cannot change your heart. I cannot change your mind. I cannot change your behavior. But I can change mine. I can make my own behavior more like Jesus. And so I don't want to be a person who is unforgiving. I want to be a person who's forgiving. And I certainly don't want to be a person that is complaining and murmuring all the time. I don't want to be dishonoring God and saying, God, I could do a better job leading my own life than you are. Because quite frankly, the evidence is all stacked to the contrary of that. There are a lot of people who refuse to accept, you know, how incompetent human beings are in dealing with their own problems. We need a savior. We need a redeemer. We need a counselor. We need God the provider. We need him in so many areas of our life. I can't think, do you know that it is his breath that caused man to be transformed from an inanimate pile of dirt into a living being? We need him for our very existence. We need him for our eternity, being transformed from being separated from him to being able to spend it with him in heaven. There's so much that we have to be thankful for. And one of the things that I tell my congregation is it is impossible to be thanking God and complaining at the exact same time. You might start off complaining, but as soon as you start thanking God, all of a sudden perspective's going to change and your heart's going to change. And so if you find yourself in that circle of complaining, I encourage you to ask God, say, God, would you help me to become the person that you want me to be? Where Ephesians talks about how we treat other people. Let me point out here from Colossians chapter 3 some of the ways that forgiving people behave. Okay, first of all, they are aware that they are the elect of God. They know that they are called to be holy. They are holy because God has made us holy. We are beloved, therefore we are able to love. It really is impossible for people who have no biblical concept of what God's love is to be able to adequately live a lifestyle of compassion. So we need to remember that we are the beloved. We need to be put on tender mercies. We are responsible for how we equip ourselves going out throughout the day. So at Merit Assembly of God, at the beginning of the year, I preached a message about that God wants us to be perfect and complete in all the will of God, and that we need to pray to make that happen. And one of the areas that someone put down on their card was that I want to grow in God's mercy. I want to grow in God's mercy. And it's like patience. The only way that you know if you have grown in patience is if you find yourself in a situation that would have manifest impatience in your life before, and suddenly you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. You and I, we clothe ourselves with the mercy of God so that when we come in contact with people, we are merciful to them. That is something that we are called to do. We deal with people in kindness, not in hostility. I'll be honest with you, a brute of a Christian, I believe, is missing the mark. I'm not to be one of those rams that is talked about in the Old Testament prophets that uses their girth to just bully their way through a situation. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to treat one another with love and kindness. It talks about that we are also supposed to put on humility. Humility. So because we are forgiven, so let me just help you here to see how this ties together. I don't know about you, but my sin is humiliating to me. It's not something that I boast about. I know that the Bible talks about in the last days, people would be going around and they would be boasting about their sins, but that's not the way that believers address their sin. I don't like the fact that my sins and my shortcomings were what drove my Savior to the cross. It's not something that I want to put on my resume, professional sinner. It's humiliating, and so we need to clothe ourselves with humility. Now, I believe that there's a difference between humility and humiliation. Humility is when we humble ourselves, and humiliation is when God has to make a public demonstration in order to get us to that place that our pride is devastated. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Amen? He will lift you up. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's a whole lot that comes not because of how great I am, but because of how great God is. And if I position myself appropriately in him, then I can boast about him and not necessarily boast about myself. So we need to clothe ourselves in humility. And with that being said, because we know what God has redeemed us from, it enables us to forgive others because we realize that their offense against us is not as great as the offense that we committed against God. Let's go on. Meekness. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, and yet God used him mightily. Long-suffering. There's the patience again. Bearing with one another. Okay? And so there's a teachable moment in there, you know, that you believe in someone so much that you want to teach them how to navigate these waters. Now you have to be sensitive to God here, because you're not looking to create a condition of enabling them in their incapacity, but instead that you are enabling them to walk with Jesus and trust in Jesus. I remember going on a missions trip many, 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 many years ago. That wasn't this last one. And visiting this missions compound. And what had happened was they had created their own little micro community there with the people in the community. And everybody in that community was dependent. They had created this sense of dependency on the mission and the missions organization. And so everybody, you know, if there was something that happened to that missionary, they would have been hopeless. They would have been absolutely hopeless. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. When I was on my most recent missions trip, I didn't get that sense. I sensed that there was a whole lot of drive in people, that they love God and they love people and they want to be the best that they could become. Bearing one another. Let's move on. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's the thing that holds us together perfectly. You know, whenever you're dealing with young couples and they're about to get married, and you start asking logistics questions, well, what are you going to do here? How are you going to solve this? And, you know, the old adage, well, love's going to keep us together. Love is all we need. And experience kicks in and says, you know what I found is the people that I love are also the people that I tend to, they tend to see my humanity more than anybody else. And the people that I love also reveal their humanity to me more than anyone else. And so if you and I are going to walk in a covenant of love, in a perfect bond, whether it is husband and wife, whether it is parents and children, whether it's as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're going to have that bond of love, we're going to have to learn how to forgive one another. It's a constant thing. You know, that you need to be treating one another in a manner that is going to show, you know what, I'm not holding your failures over your head. I'm not going to be complaining about you every minute of every day, okay? I tell you that nagging and, you know, berating, whether it's husband or wife, is never, never going to accomplish anything. Listen, if you are calling your spouse an idiot or an oaf, you've got some room to grow. You've got some room to grow in this concept of forgiving. It's got to get down inside of us so that when we are dealing with people, that the love of God comes out of us. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay? And so when something happens that is beyond my control, instead of necessarily just going to the default position about complaining to that about that person and complaining about the situation, that I go to God and say, God, I'm so thankful that you've got this under control. Now there are some situations that have happened through the years and where it wasn't necessarily me, but when other people were being treated badly, I don't stand idly by for that. I just don't. I will tell you this, I would rather someone treat me badly and me maintain the peace of God than I would, for someone to treat me in a manner and it's going to cause me aggravation in my spirit. See, a lot of times when we go to make a purchase, we ask ourselves, what is this going to cost? I'm pretty good about that, about when I go to a restaurant. What is this going to cost? There was one night I went to a restaurant that I'd never been to, and I wanted to try it and never been in there before, and found out that the cost was more than what I wanted to pay. And so I turned around and I said, thank you very much. And I walked out the door. So I never did get to eat there. When we are dealing with other people, it may not cost us money, but what will it cost us? It might cost us some frustration. It might cost us some time of peace. It might cost us a ministry opportunity. And so if we have this forgiving lifestyle, that's a really good way. Instead of an act of forgiveness, this isn't in my notes. This is just fresh revelation right now. If we, instead of having an act of forgiveness, if we have a lifestyle of forgiveness, then we are going to have a tremendous amount of peace. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There's a tremendous amount of peace in that. And you know, quite frankly, I have discovered that there are a lot of times that probably I've done things and others have done things that we were completely unaware of what the ultimate ramifications of that act was going to be. And so rather than just being people who argue, you know, the world's mindset is we understand what Christians are against because we complain and we rail about it all of the time. And there may be an opportunity for that, but I will tell you this. I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. I don't want anything that the devil does to steal that peace from me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And see, this is something that you and I can do. It's behavior with us that is going to change us. I want, rather than my emotions and my hurt dislodge and evict the word of God from my life, I don't want temptation to come in such a way that the word of God is displaced. I want the word of God, which is settled forever in heaven and on earth, to dwell richly inside my heart and my life, because whenever the pressure is on, then what's on the inside is going to come out, the word of God. And that word of forgiveness that we have received is going to be beneficial to those around us. Verse number 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And that's really the heartbeat of this lifestyle of forgiveness. And that is that everything we say, everything we do is supposed to be for the glory of God. And as we are living that truth out, we are going to find that we are not going to be a complaining people, because like Dave Ramsey has said, God treats us better than we deserve. And all of a sudden, we are a thankful people instead of a complaining people. If you've never been a worshiper, if you've never been one that expressed a lot of gratitude to God, I encourage you to do this. Start today. Start right now. Find something to thank God for. If you're having trouble with another person at work or at home, find something to thank God about. Let them know. Praise them. Change their dynamic. Tell them how much that gift means to you, and watch how your life changes. See you
Thank
next time
you
right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This Jesus.